I want you to find this morning with me two passages of scripture. I want you to find Joshua chapter 1. Now, if you'll stand with me this morning, I want to read that passage. And go ahead on and find Numbers chapter 32. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 12 through verse 14. Verse 12 reads, "And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half of the tribe of Manasseh spoke Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God have given you rest and have given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor." And I want you to catch these last three words. "And help them." And help them. I want to talk to us this morning on this little simple, childlike subject. Is one that it was true back then. It is one that is true today, and it will be true until the Lord Jesus returns. I want to talk to you about how we need your help. We need your help. Father, thank you this morning for this great crowd of people who have come to worship you. Lord, you always give us enough to preach to. And for that, we're grateful. We're thankful. God, open our hearts and our ears now that we may hear what the Spirit has to say to the church in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to say it loud. I want to say it clear. I want to say it with all of the authority that a pastor ought to have. We need your help. Amen. We need the little bit or the much that you have received from the Lord for the benefit of the body. We need, listen to me. We need your help. We need your input. We need your service. We need your resources. It was designed that way by God. And if we as individuals and as a church is going to possess our land of victory, if we're going to be what God wants us to be and lay hold on what God wants us to have, it takes all of us working together as one body and one family. And so I want to say it again. I may say it several more times. You may get sick of hearing it. We need your help. The background to Joshua chapter 1, verse 12 through 18 is found in Numbers chapter 32. During the ministry of Moses, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh comes to Moses and makes to him a strange request. They asked Moses for permission to stay on this side of Jordan, to stay on this side of the promised land. If you know your Bible history, you'll know, you remember that Moses had brought them to the Jordan. Jordan is a spiritual picture of the barriers and the obstacles of life that try to keep the people of God from the promises of God, from the blessings of God. It was on this side of Jordan that Moses died. But before Moses passed away, these 2.5 tribes come to Moses and said, look, we want to stay right where we are. We don't want to go over into the promised land. We don't want to lay hold on what God has promised us. We want to stay on this side of Jordan. In essence, in this strange request, they are saying at least 3 things to Moses. First of all, they are saying to Moses that we are satisfied right where we are. We can be happy right where we are. We don't want to move. We don't want you to push us. We don't want you to encourage us to go no further. Let us just stay on this side of Jordan. In essence, listen, they were saying to Moses what many Christians are saying to God today. We are just happy being saved. Listen, we are satisfied with having our name on the roll. Listen, today is no growth. There is no maturity. There is no moving forward spiritually. Listen, they don't want you to say anything to them that brings any conviction about being where they are comfortably. They want to stay where they are. They come to Moses, the great Old Testament leader, and they said to him, let us stay right here. We can be happy right here. We don't want to go no further. Listen, we don't want to take no chances, Moses. Listen, we want to be comfortable and live where we are. Amen. I say to us this morning, listen to me. There are many believers, maybe some here this morning. You're not growing. You're not developing. You're not investing. You're not helping. Listen, you are stagnant. You are standing still spiritually. And that's a dangerous place to be. I didn't come to be popular this morning. I come to give you the word of God. They said, Moses, it was enough for us just to get out of Egypt. It was enough for us just to survive the wilderness. And if it's okay with you, and if it's okay with the rest of the tribes, we're going to stay where we are. Here's the second thing that they're saying to Moses. Not only are they saying we're satisfied, but they're saying to Moses, Moses, we really don't need the other 9 tribes to help us to live. They say, look, we want to stay on this side. We don't want to go over Jordan. And what they're saying is we're satisfied with where we are. But not only that, listen, we really can do well without the rest of the family. Come on. I want to tell you a lie, a filthy, dirty, rotten, dark, demonic lie that the devil is telling the people of God. He's trying to convince you, you don't need the church. You don't need preaching. You don't need teaching. You don't need what the church can add to you. You can make it just fine by yourself. And folks, write it down big, bold, and straight and tell the devil that Pastor Anthony said it. It is a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You need the church. Listen, if you check biblical history, when the Assyrians attacked the promised land, guess who were the first 2.5 tribes that went into captivity? Manasseh, Reuben, and Gad. So in essence, what they're saying to Moses, number one, we're satisfied right where we are. Let me ask you a question. Are you satisfied with where you are? Do you know that there is more of God that you need to get a hold of than what you got right now? Dr. Rogers used to say to Bellevue Baptist, he said, I don't know how much God you got, but I can tell you this, you got all that you want.
Amen.
They're saying, Moses, we're satisfied. We don't want to go no further. I finally got my name on Solid Rock Church Roll, and that's enough for me.
Come on.
Amen. I finally got accepted into their little clique. Listen, that's enough for me. But honey, let me tell you something. There is more to God than what you got right now.
Amen.
Secondly, they're saying, we really don't need them. Listen, we can make it just fine by ourselves on this side of the Jordan. But there's a third thing that they're saying. Perhaps it's the most demonic. Perhaps it's the most saddest. And they're saying to Moses, look, Moses, our worldly success is more important than fulfilling the will and the purpose of God. You see, the reason why they came to Moses, now don't sleep on me this morning, this is going to be quick. I ain't going to promise you it's not going to be painful, but it's going to be quick. Listen, the reason why they came to Moses and made this request is because on this side of Jordan, they noticed that it was good for cattle. They noticed that it was well watered, that the grass was green. Listen, that things were growing in abundance that would be good and healthy for cattle. And they had plenty of cattle. And so in verse 4 of Numbers chapter 32, they come to Moses and they say, look, we got plenty of cattle. This place is good for cattle. Let us stay right here. I want to tell you this morning, listen to me, that there are many of us as believers who are settling with success of this world while we're ignoring the will of God.
Amen.
You know what the problem with them was? The same problem with many of us in the church this morning. Now, y'all think I'm fussing, but I'm not. I'm just trying to be obedient to the Spirit.
Amen.
Listen, they were more materially minded than they were spiritual minded.
Amen.
They cared more about their big houses and their fine cars and how fat their cattle could get,
yes, sir,
rather than caring about the will and the family of God.
Amen.
Hmm. Lord, help us. I want you to see the consequences. I want you to see the dangers of it. Because listen, now go with me to Numbers 32, if you're not already there. In Numbers 32, beginning in verse number 6, Moses identifies to them at least five, there may be more, but at least five dangerous consequences that can come out of this kind of thinking. For those of us, listen to me, for those of us who think that we don't need the church and the church don't need us, I'm here to tell you this morning, I speak for the rest of Solid Rock. I know I do. We need your help. We need, listen to me, even though you may have gotten what you wanted, you still are obligated to help us get what we need. And so Moses deals with this strange and ridiculous request that the tribes make. I want you to look in verse number 6. Because the first thing that Moses tells them, he tells them that their request is unreasonable and selfish. It's unreasonable and it's selfish. Look at verse number 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go in war and shall you sit here? Now you think about what Moses is saying. Moses is saying, this is ridiculous. You mean to tell me, listen, you mean to tell me that God has brought us out as a family? God has brought us through the wilderness as a family. God has blessed us as a family. And now that you got it going on, you want to let the rest of us hang out to dry. He said, listen, you mean to tell me that you want to sit here while the rest of the church go to battle?
Yes, sir. Amen.
said, Moses said, it's unreasonable and it's selfish. Now, I want to say something to you this morning, and I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to embarrass nobody. I don't want to make nobody mad. But, folks, I want to tell you, listen, if you are a part of this church, if you are a member of this church, it is unfair for you to sit at home while the rest of us have to go to the battlefield and fight with the devil and his demons. It's unreasonable. Listen, it's not right. It's not fair to the rest of us. Moses, you mean to tell me, out of all that we've been through, out of all that God has brought, you mean to tell me that you want to stay at home on the couch? Eating ice cream while the rest of us try to help save this community. He says unreasonable. Listen, and he says selfish. It's selfish. Listen to me, honey. If the only reason you show up at church, well, it's Solid Rock or whatever church you go to, if the only reason you show up is for what the church can do for you, that's a selfish reason. It's not always about how the church can minister to you. Sometimes it ought to be about how you can minister to the church. Can I tell you something this morning? For those of you who are still with me and ain't mad with me, say amen.
Amen.
The reason why there is so little joy in the church is because we lie and say it's not about us, but it really is about us. Why don't you get your focus off of what we are not doing for you and get your focus on what you can do for us? Jesus said, I didn't come to serve, to be served, but I come to serve and to give my life as a ram. How often when you get up to get ready to come to Sunday school or Bible study or Wednesday night or Sunday, how often did you get up and say, Lord, let me do something that's going to be a blessing to them? Listen, before you get mad with me, you should have been on my side when I got it from him. We don't have any servants much in the church anymore. And for most of us who serve, we serve out of bitter, bad motives. We serve so our name will be in the paper. We serve so we'll be in the spotlight. And as soon as somebody don't congratulate us or praise us, we get mad.
Amen. Amen.
I come this morning to tell you, we need your help. I'm telling you, listen to me. We need your help. Moses understood that it took every one of those tribes to go in to defeat those enemies. First thing I want you to see in this is an unreasonable and selfish request. But here's the second thing I want you to see. It's a discouraging request. It is discouraging. Listen, it's discouraging. When you don't do your part, when you don't show up to help pull the load, listen, when you don't give some of your time and some of your resources, not only are you missing out on a blessing, but you are a discouragement to the rest of the body. Listen what Moses says, and he says it twice. If you ever want to know how important something is to God, listen to how many times he says it. Moses says it twice. In verse number 7, Moses says, and why discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord have given them? Look down at verse number 9. He talks about what their forefathers did. For when they went up into the valley of Eschol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, listen, when you don't give the help that you could give, I'm not asking, I'm not talking about what you can't give, but I'm talking about what you could give. I'm talking about what you could do. When you don't willingly and humbly give it, I'm telling you, it is a discouragement to everybody else who's trying to do something. Let me tell you something. Listen, and I'm not boasting or bragging, but I've grown a little bit in the Lord. 35 years, I've grown a little bit, and I've grown a lot since I've been in Solid Rock. And see, listen to me. I understand something. I've been in this word long enough to know that God's going to get his.
Yes.
Michelle, either you can freely give it to him or he'll take it. Listen, God's going to get his time. God's going to get his resources. Listen, God's going to get his talent. I'm telling you, God's going to get here. Now, he may have to get it in Vanderbilt Hospital, but he's going to get it. He may have to get it through way of the IRS, but he's going to get his. I'm telling you, God is going to get his. But there are other Christians who are not as mature. They are young. They're just getting started. They're excited. They are on fire for the Lord. And when you don't never show up, when you're never available to help, when no time is the right time for you, it is a discouragement to weaker believers.
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Every now and then, not often, but every now and then, I would get asked a question as a pastor that I don't have an answer for. Where is so-and-so? I don't know where so-and-so is. And it always breaks my heart when it's from younger believers.
Amen.
Because I know what they're thinking. See, let me tell you something. Listen to me. You are setting the example for the next generation. You may not know you are. You may not be intending to do it. But you are setting the example for the next generation.
Amen.
Listen, if your service to God is weak and slack and half-hearted and disconnected and indifferent and sometimey and with complaining and griping, what do you think those children back there are learning? Because they'll learn more from you in 7 days than I can teach them in an hour.
That's right. Amen.
Moses said... Moses said, look, it's selfish, it's unreasonable. Look, here's the second thing. He said, it's discouraging. It's discouraging. Perhaps the only thing that I can honestly sit here and stand here today and tell y'all that I get mad with my children about is that they don't like clean up. Now, maybe your children do, but mine don't. Listen, they hate cleaning up. They bless their hearts. Don't tell Marquis I said this. But they can be comfortable in a mess. Clothes are everywhere. I don't know how they determine what's clean and what's dirty because it's all in the same floor in the same pile. That's the only thing that I really get mad with them about. As far as respect, as far as trying to do what's right, oh, thank you, Lord. They do that well. But they just don't like to clean up. Amen. They don't. So look, I can tell you that on my days off, when I get up in the morning, the last thing that I want to do is have to clean up a mess that they should have cleaned up 3 weeks ago.
Amen.
It's discouraging. If it wasn't for the fact of just being at work, I have thought about changing my off days so that we'd be at home together so that they could hear me fuss while I'm cleaning. Have you ever, look, have you ever just walked in the kitchen and on your way you're thinking I'm going to wash the dishes, but when you get in there you see 6 weeks of dishes piled up and you get discouraged and you say they didn't wash them and I'm not going to wash them. It's discouraging, listen to me, when you feel like you're the only one. Moses said, look, he said, you are discouraging them from going over and possessing the land. Here's the third thing that you see. Look with me in verse 3 and verse 13. Atharoth and Deboim and Jazer and Nepher and Heshbon and how do you pronounce that name? And Shabam and Nebo and Beon. Then in verse 4 he says, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land full of cattle. And thy servants have cattle. Now skip over with me to verse 13. Because listen what he said. Surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed the Lord. Now here's the third thing. I'm sorry, verse 11. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. Underline that. And he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Now here's the third thing. And that is, it's costly and it's dangerous. It's costly. Look, listen to me. When you don't give the help that you could give, when you don't give the support that you could give, I'm not talking about what you don't have to give, but I'm talking about what you could do, what you could give, what you could surrender. Listen, when you don't do it, it's both costly and it's dangerous. Listen what Moses said, because here's what I want you to get. Look at verse 10. And the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time. Look down at verse 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. Here's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. When you and I don't work together to accomplish God's will, when I'm not helping you and you're not helping me, it angers the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I want you to get this. Listen to me. Because I love you. God knows I do. There ain't a pastor in the world that loves his flock more than Anthony Bledsoe loves Solid Rock. And I want to tell you something. Don't you think for one minute that God is okay with you not doing your part?
Amen.
Listen to me. I want to say it again. Don't you be deceived for one minute into thinking that God is okay with you not doing what you know you ought to be doing. Moses said, it angered God back with your forefathers. Look down with me at verse 14. And behold, you are risen up in your father's stead. In other words, you're doing the same thing that your forefathers did, an increase of sinful men to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. Moses says, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You know why it's dangerous? For several reasons, but here's one. Because God has called us together as a family. And God has given us the privilege and the responsibility of not only reaching our promised land, but helping this whole community reach their promised land. It's part of God's plan. Now, you may not take God's plan seriously, but he does. In fact, God was so serious about his plan that he allowed his son Jesus to hang on an old rugged cross so that the plan could go forward. Maybe your plan is more important than God's plan. Maybe your goals are more important than God's goal. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God takes his plan seriously. Well, not only, listen, watch this. Not only is it dangerous, but it's costly. You see, every minute that I'm not doing what I ought to be doing as a believer to help other believers lay hold on what God wants to give them is costing us. For 40 years, listen, for 40 years, it cost Israel a trip in the wilderness. For 40 years, they wandered around in confusion. For 40 years, they wandered around in the desert. For 40 years, when they could have been living in blessed grace, they were wandering around in the wilderness because they didn't do what they should have done. Let me tell you, let me give you a personal word for those of us who think we are already there. But listen, for those of us who might be financially set,
come on.
We're set in the community and we really don't think that we got to do. Listen, not only did Israel not get theirs, but the men who brought back this bad report didn't get to enjoy it either. And what I'm trying to tell you, listen to me, not only does it cost the church, it's costing you. It's costing you. You may not be able to see it right now. You may not be able to identify it, but it's costing you when you're not doing what you could be doing. Lord help me. Well, here's the fifth thing. Number four was costly, but here's the fifth thing. We'll close with this morning. I don't know if y'all can handle it anymore. Here's the fifth thing. Others suffered because they didn't do their part. The whole nation suffered because a few didn't do what they were supposed to do. It wasn't, listen to me, it wasn't just a few that didn't do that suffered. It was the whole church. The whole church was in the wilderness. The whole church was in the desert. The whole church had to deal with the snakes and the scorpions and the hot days and the dry sand. The whole church had to do it because a few didn't do what they should have done. Look at verse 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Moses says in verse 14, and behold, you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to argument, yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. Verse 15, for if you turn away from him, from after him, he will yet again lead them in the wilderness. And you, not the devil. Listen, wake up for just a minute. Let me tell you something. Listen. Listen to what Moses said. And you shall destroy all this people. That's strong language. I'm telling you, listen to me. God help us understand. That's strong language. Moses is saying to these 2.5 tribes, if you don't do your part, they're going to suffer from it. And if they're destroyed in the wilderness, it will be your fault. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible, and who is it that's being damaged, that's being held hostage by the devil because you won't step up and not do what you can't do, but do what you could do. Amen. What ministries in this church is suffering because you won't help? Amen. What, listen, what children in this church is going to bed hungry at night, or maybe wearing shoes that are wore out because you won't give? What encouraging word is going unsaid because you're not available? Is this making sense?
Amen.
Moses said, you'll be the one to destroy them. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 1. You say, how in the world do you respond to a message like this? Well, you do today what they did yesteryear. Verse 16 through verse 18 is how they respond. I just want to read and just make one comment. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And wheresoever you send us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto you. Only the Lord thy God be with you, as he was with Moses. The first thing that they did, they made a commitment to surrender. They made a commitment to surrender. And listen to me. They didn't get mad with Joshua. They didn't get put out with Joshua. Listen, they didn't take their ball and go home and say, I'm not coming back anymore. Listen, they said, Joshua, you are right. You are right. And we surrender to the word that you've spoken to us. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. They surrender. But here's the second thing. I want you to see the seriousness of their surrender. Because there are times when we surrender, but we're not serious in our surrender. There are times we get our toes stepped on, our feelings hurt, and we say, I'm going to do better. In reality, listen, what we're saying is, I just want to feel better. And as soon as the message wears off, the surrender wears off. But look at verse 18, and I promise you I'm finished. He said, whosoever he be that doth rebel against your commandment and will not hearken unto your words in all that you commanded, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. You know what they're saying? They're saying, Joshua, we are surrendered and we're serious about our surrender. And anybody who's not surrendered to you of these 2.5 tribes, we're going to deal with them. We're going to deal with them. That's seriousness. Now, listen to me. We're not called to deal with anybody else about their surrender, but here's what I'm asking you to do this morning. I'm asking you to deal with yourself.
Amen.
Listen to me. I'm asking Anthony the Blessed Soul to deal with himself. Look at yourself. Ask yourself a question. Are you surrendered to the will of God? Is there any evidence in your life that you're surrendered to the will of God? Is there any evidence in your life that you're trying to fulfill the plan and the will of God? The only way to real, genuine success for a church, whether it's 100 or whether it's 2, is that we have to be surrendered together to the will of God. That's the message this morning.